All right, good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Please open to Genesis chapter 15. Again, it's, as always, a joy and a delight to be here, and always good to see you, some of you more than others. But we won't get into that. I was trying to think of some way that I could make it look like I actually knew what I was doing and was tying all this together today. So the deal is I'm going to do some math with you now, and this afternoon some science. All right, so let's have a word of prayer and begin. Father, we thank you again for the privilege that we have to gather together as saints for this weekend to study the Word of God. And I thank you for each one who has come here and just by their very presence is demonstrating their love for the Word of God, their desire to have understanding. And I pray that this would be a time of instruction and edification for each of us. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What happened to a piece of chalk? Oh, it's there. Okay. I'm going to use the superior side. All right. What I want to do in this session is look at some passages in the Bible that supposedly contradict one another. Involving some numbers. And I studied this years ago. I spent quite a lot of time trying to figure it out. And I finally just gave up. And I was just going crazy. And I thought, I just got to forget this and put it on the shelf. And you know, maybe some years later, I'll feel like I can look at it again. And so, I don't know, about a year ago or so, I decided to try to revisit it. And I think I figured it out pretty. And I read back years ago when I looked at this, I read a bunch of commentaries and this and that. And everyone that I looked at either changed the King James Bible, even if they claimed to be strong King James people, they ultimately would change the King James Bible. Or I was amazed at how many of them, we're going to look at four passages, how many of them would comment on two or three of the passages and ignore the one that is really a problem and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think I figured it out. So that's what I want to talk about. So let's first just read the passages quickly so you can see the supposed problem. So the first one is in Genesis chapter 15 and beginning in verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. So God spoke here to Abram, telling him that his seed was going to be in a strange land. And it says in verse 13, for 400 years. So just take note of that number, 400 years. And then look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. It says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So here's where the seeming problem comes in, that Genesis would lead you to believe they were there for 400 years, but this verse in Exodus would indicate 430 years. I read a bunch of commentaries and so forth years ago, and none of their solutions were satisfactory to me. One of the really lame ones, but fairly common actually, is they say that in Genesis, Moses just rounded off the number. So the correct number is 430. But in that case, he just rounded it off to 400. So that didn't satisfy me. Acts chapter 7 is the third one. Acts chapter 7 and verse 6. Says, and God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So now here again you have 400, which would match Genesis 15. So if you want to go with that lame explanation, then Luke is rounding off here also. And then one more in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Now this passage is a bit different, and we'll look at all of these in more detail, but it has this number 430 again. So two of the passages we looked at have 400, the other two have 430. All right, now let's go back to Genesis 15 and take these one by one and look more carefully at them. And I will say also, as I mentioned years ago, I forget how much time, but I spent a good many hours looking at all these passages and trying to work out all the timelines and all, and finally just gave up. And then I went to all the commentaries and so forth, and I couldn't find anyone that I thought had it figured out. And then I taught this for the first time a while ago in Milwaukee. And after I was done going through this, everyone seemed to be like, yeah, that was simple. So when I go through this now, you're going to all think, yeah, that's simple. But yeah, once you have it figured out, it's simple. So I'm telling you, you need to be impressed with this. Don't come up to me and say, that was simple. Tell me, wow, that was impressive. So, all right. Before we get into the details here, I want to mention regarding just some general comments about supposed contradictions in the Bible. Many years ago, I was in the southern part of the Philippines where there are a lot of Muslims, and they gave me a couple of booklets that they had written with all the contradictions in the Bible. And it was actually an impressive list. I've seen atheists and so forth write those kind of things. But this was really an exhaustive list of seeming contradictions in the Bible. And so I went through that, and just quickly was going through, and I thought, well, at least a third of these are gone if you just use a King James Bible. So that's the first thing when you talk about, you know, there are contradictions, there are mistakes in the Bible. The first thing is make sure the person has a King James Bible, because there are a lot of contradictions and mistakes in other translations. So that's number one. Make sure you use a King James. And then second, I went through and I thought, well, another one-third of these could be eliminated if you rightly divide the word of truth. Because, of course, they're finding, you know, Old Testament it says this, and in Romans it says this, or Matthew it says this, and Ephesians says this, and all. Well, those aren't contradictions. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, they are. But if you rightly divide the word of truth, those aren't contradictions. So use a King James Bible, rightly divide the word of truth, and then the rest of them can be taken care of simply by reading the words carefully. Pay attention to the words and look at the context, and that'll take care of all of them. And also I want to say that, you know, we don't claim, I don't claim that I know all things or that I'm perfect. No, to Gene I do, but to the rest of you, no. So that's not what we're claiming. We're claiming that the Word of God is perfect. And so if you ever get into these conversations where, you know, oh, here's a mistake in the Bible, a contradiction in the Bible, don't feel like you can't go out and talk to people about the gospel, because what if somebody stumps you like that? You don't have to know everything. That you're not claiming that you know everything, that you have all the answers. You're just claiming that they're all here in the Word of God. And so it's quite fine to say, well, I don't really know about that right now. I'll have to do some more study or something. You don't have to know everything. So, again, a lot of people are intimidated by what if somebody shows me some supposed mistake in the Bible. But, you know, we don't need to have that attitude. All right, Genesis chapter 15. And again, we'll look at these in a little more detail now. So Genesis chapter 15, and beginning in verse 13. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. All right, so we have here 400 years. So what is the end point for these 400 years? When you look at verse 13, 14, sorry. Yeah, so the Exodus. And that takes place in Exodus chapter 14. So the end point for these 400 years is when they come out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 14. But what is the beginning point for these 400 years? Okay, it says again in verse 13, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So this is 400 years of affliction. And so the beginning point would be, when do they begin to be afflicted? Look in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, and beginning in verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Verse 11, Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to, what? To afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. So the beginning point here is Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11. All right, so we're all good with that, right? Simple enough. So it begins when they're afflicted, and then 400 years, and they come out of Egypt. All right, then Exodus chapter 12 is the second one. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So now you have a time of 430 years. Right? What is the end point for this 430 years? Okay, it says in again Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel throughout Egypt was 430 years. And so after that, they're no longer in Egypt. They're going to come out of Egypt. So the end point here is the same. It's again Exodus chapter 14 when they come out of Egypt. And so that's where seemingly there's a problem here. Because this says they're 400 years and they come out. This says they're there 430 years and they come out. What is the beginning point? Okay, see, it's not affliction. Again, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, it doesn't say now the affliction of the children of Israel. It says now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt. And it doesn't say they sojourned in Egypt 430 years. It says now the sojourning of the children of Israel, comma, who dwelt in Egypt, comma, was 430 years. So when did the sojourning begin? And we'll probably look at this a little bit later, but I would suggest to you that the sojourning begins when Jacob and the whole family comes into Egypt. And so that is not in Exodus 1, that's in Genesis 47. And so this is not a contradiction or a mistake. We don't have to round anything off to make these two be perfectly fine. It's just we have to realize they have a different beginning point. And so the only issue at this point is it can we prove, or is it at least reasonable to conclude, that from Genesis 47, when Jacob and the family go to Egypt, from this time until when the affliction begins, that that's 30 years. And it turns out it is reasonable. So there's no problem with that. And you can look at the, we probably won't take time to do this, but you can look at the ages of Joseph that are given. For example, he died when he's 110 years old. We know that. And there's some other points where we're given his age. And if you look at that, it would be reasonable to say there are 30 years there. Okay, then Acts chapter 7 is the next one. Acts chapter 7 and verse 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So here again, we have a time of 400 years. Okay, in this case, what is the end point? Okay, it's again the Exodus. So it's the same end point. All right, and then what is the beginning point in Acts chapter 7, verse 6? Okay, so again, verse 6 says, and God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land. So this verse talks about the sojourning. But then it says, but it doesn't say that they're going to sojourn 400 years. It says, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So what is it that happens here for 400 years? It's not sojourning, but it's evil entreatment, which would match up here the affliction. And so so the beginning point here is, again, Exodus 1:11, when they are put into bondage and they begin to be evilly entreated. Because if you remember, when they first went into Egypt, they were treated like royalty. And so that's not what this one and this one are talking about. They're talking about the affliction, the evil entreatment. And so so this passage in Acts perfectly matches up with what we read in Genesis. Okay, then we have one more in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. So here, again, you have a time of 430 years. And in this case, what is the end point? It's not the Exodus from Egypt, but here the end point is when the law was given. And that's Exodus 20. Now, I will say at this time that there's no significant passage of time between Exodus 14 and Exodus 20. So we're not talking about a great deal of time that passes, but it is a bit different. And then looking again at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, what is the beginning point for this 430 years? And in case you give the correct answer, let me first say that what all the commentaries say is that, again, if you look at verse 16, all the commentaries say that the beginning point for this 430 years is the promise given to Abraham. If you're taking notes, write it in pencil or be ready to scratch it out. But that's what all the experts say, that this begins with the promise given to Abraham. But now the problem with that is, if there's 430 years from Genesis 47 to Exodus 14, and then they say the promise given to Abraham is in Genesis chapter 12. How can there, if we're going from 47 all the way back to chapter 12 here, and then over here we're going a little bit later from chapter 14 and chapter 20, how can they both be 430 years? One of them obviously is wrong. And here you can't even use the lame thing of rounding them off. So that seems to be a problem. All right, now the key, as is very often the case, is to read carefully and pay attention to the wording. So beginning again in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed. When were, and then also in verse 16, were the promises, plural, made? Were there promises made to Abraham and his seed in Genesis 12? Well, there's a promise to Abraham, but his seed didn't even exist at that time. He didn't have any seed. So Genesis 12 is not what this is talking about. Again, in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And so when you go through the book of Genesis, you see God gives Abraham promises several times. And then you come to Isaac, and God gives promises to Isaac, repeats the promises given to Abraham, and in some cases adds more detail. And then later the same thing to Jacob. And so what I would suggest to you is this is not correct. This does not fit the wording in the verse. But instead it's when the promises were given to the seed. And so turn to Genesis chapter 46. And I would suggest to you that what that verse is talking about is not the first promise ever given to Abraham, but the last time that we find the promises given to Abraham and his seed. And that last time is in Genesis chapter 46 and beginning in verse 1. And Israel, and that's Jacob here, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. So this is the last time, the first time God gives a promise is to Abraham in Genesis 12. And then you go through and he again promises Abraham a number of times and Isaac and then Jacob. And this is the last time. And so I would suggest the beginning point here is Genesis 47, when God had now completed giving the promises to Abraham and his seed. And so if you... 46, technically speaking, is where we read. But again, we read here in Genesis 46 that it's already talking about their sojourning, their leaving for Egypt. So 47, 46, basically the same. And here, as I said, 14 and 20, basically the same. Not a significant passage of time. And so the first one and the third one will perfectly match up here, 400 years. And the second one and the fourth one will perfectly match up as 430 years. We don't have to change any words, round anything off. They will all perfectly match up. So thank you, thank you. Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. All right. Well, now since you're so impressed with that, and we have a little bit of time, let me do another one for you. All right, for this one, turn to Acts chapter 13. And this one involves just two passages, but two passages that seem to have a major contradiction with one another. All right, so the first one, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and beginning in verse 19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years unto Samuel the prophet. Now, we're going to look at that in more detail in a moment. But, in fact, actually, let's just do that now. And then we'll look at the passage that seemingly would contradict this. All right, so here you have a time of 450 years. Okay, what is the beginning point for these 450 years? Okay, so again, if you look in Acts 13 and verse 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges. So the beginning point here is when God gave Israel judges. And that would be the book of Judges is where we learn, where we see that that took place. So that's the beginning point. And then what is the end point here in verses 19 and 20? Okay, so it says he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. So the end point is Samuel. So from the time God gave judges to Israel until Samuel the prophet, 450 years. Okay, that's all fine. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 6. And this is where we seemingly have a major problem, a major contradiction. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So, here we have 480 years. And what is the beginning point for these 480 years? All right, so it's what we've seen in some of these was the end point. It's when they came out of Egypt. So that's Exodus 14. And what is the end point here in verse 1? Right, when Solomon began to build the temple. Now, if you don't already see what the problem is here, there's only 30 years of difference here between these two numbers. But in this case, this begins with the book of Judges. This goes all the way back to Exodus 14. And this one ends with Samuel, but this one goes all the way to Solomon. So how can you possibly account for only 30 years in there? And in fact, it's a very significant problem, because what do we, so if we start here, take this 450. And now, if everything is going to work out, we should only add 30 to this and come up with this number. But what do we know, if we're in the book of Judges, and now we're going to go back to Exodus 14, when they come out of Egypt, what do we know took place in that period of time? They were 40 years in the wilderness. So we have to add 40 to this. I'll just put W for wilderness. So we already have a problem. We're already 490, and we can only get to 480 to make this work. But it's going to get much worse now, because then you have... So this ends with Samuel the prophet. Now, we don't know, as far as I can determine, we don't know exactly the length of Samuel's ministry, but he did have some length of ministry. And so I'm just going to estimate at this point, I'm just going to say about 20 years. So that's again just an estimate, but I think reading the text, I think a reasonable estimate to say about 20 years. Okay, and then what do you have after that? You have Saul. And how long did Saul reign? 40 years. We're specifically told that he reigned 40 years. And then what happens after Saul? You have David. And again, we're specifically told that he reigned for 40 years. And so you have to add all of that in before you finally get over here to Solomon. So this is Samuel, Saul, David. All right. So if you add all of this together, what do you get? You get 590. So not only don't these two passages match up, they're not even close. We have 590 here, but it should only be 480. So we're 110 years off. We have to somehow come up with 110 years to make this work. All right? Turn to the book of Judges. Book of Judges and chapter 3. All right, the book of Judges chapter 3. And verse 8 says, "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of..." I'm glad ours is just Trump. "King of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served that guy for 8 years. All right, so this says that the Lord was hot against Israel. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them. And how long did he sell them? In 8 years. All right, so we're going to add some numbers here, and I'm kind of running out of room here, but so we have 8 years. All right, then look at chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 14. And chapter 12, verse 14, "And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on threescore and 10 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. I knew that didn't look right. Back in chapter 3, actually, is where I want to be. I knew that didn't look right at all. Chapter 3, and beginning in verse 12. So not chapter 12, but chapter 3, verse 12. Okay, so verse 12, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, how long? 18 years. So now we're going to add 18. So again, and so what we see in the book of Judges, and we'll look at the rest here, there are a number of times when the Lord was angry with Israel, and he sold them to a Gentile king. All right, the next one, chapter 4, and beginning in verse 2. And the Lord said, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So again, the Lord sold them, and this time how long? 20 years. So I'm going to add 20. And then chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. How long? So we're going to add 7. And then chapter 10. Chapter 10 and beginning in verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. And how many years here? 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the hand of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. So now we're going to add 18. And then we have one more, and that's in chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. And how long this time? 40 years. All right, so now I don't have room up there. Add all those numbers together, and what do you get? You get 111. So I don't really have room to put that, but we get 111 years. And what is this number? Very close. And remember, this 20 is an estimate. So we can easily adjust my estimate 1 year. And if we adjust my estimate 1 year, then that matches the 110. And so why do we have these extra 110 years, 111 years? And I would suggest that in 1 Kings chapter 6, where it gives this seemingly way, way, way too low a number, 110, 111 years off, he is not counting the years when God sold Israel to the Gentiles. He's not counting, not including those numbers. And so if we subtract those years, everything will perfectly match up. All right, so that's thank you. So that's our math, and I'm done, so I'm not going to keep you any longer. And then this afternoon, as I said, we'll do, most of all. So this afternoon, as I said, we'll do some science. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had this morning to look into the Word of God and to get the wisdom that you have given to us. And also, again, to see an example of how the Bible critics and mockers don't know what they're talking about. And the problem is not with the Word of God, but it's the problem with those who don't believe and don't study and don't rightly divide. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.